praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're just going to wait for our drummer. He's here. There he is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
We are grateful for you, Jesus, this evening. City stood alone. darkness.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
Not like you.
Not like you.
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Like you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome and powerful. Sing hallelujah,
By the price he paid. The night sing all together, led by the light.
Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your special gift that broke forth in spite of all the resistance to save lost ones like us, mankind, lost in trespasses and sins. You came to redeem us. You came to push far away from us the curse and to release upon us your manifold blessings. Tonight, on this eve here in Canada, and on this Christmas Day celebrated by many others already in different time zones, we want to say thank you, Father, for the precious gift of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for blessings that cannot be stopped, for curses forever removed, for joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank you for the anointings that destroy yokes and remove burdens. Thank you, Lord, that you've rebuked the enemy for our sakes and you've healed our land. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God, forever. In Jesus' mighty name,
amen.
We say it is so. Amen.
Amen
and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Welcome to this very special time together. Worship team, I celebrate you all. Thank you. Praise God. You know, there are 24 hours in the day. If we're to break it down to the simplest form, let's say it's 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night or dark. When Jesus, our Lord, came, he came at night, dark. Someone say dark. Night time. That was not by accident. It could have come as noon. It could have come early in the morning at sunrise. It came in the dark. Why? Because that's where we all are. He came in the dark as the light of the world to say darkness cannot stop him and cannot stop you. Praise the Lord. I want you, when you think about Christmas, to think about all the things that God is communicating. I read to you from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Sunday evening, where it simply says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And then it says, "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." What? Syria is a different country. Is it not? Why does God have to put that in there? Is it because he wanted to frame the time? Or was there a message in that? Well, we know that Cyrenius means a warrior. And Syria means exalted. And we know that Caesar means separation. So God was saying, at the very specific time when he is going to do this separation, when Caesar was in place, when Cyrenius, and remember, Syria is an enemy country. So when Cyrenius, a warrior, was seated as governor in an exalted place, that's when Jesus came. It doesn't matter how high you exalt yourself and how a mighty warrior you are and how it is that you are emperor that separates. It doesn't matter. I'm coming when you think you are winning. I don't know if you heard what I said. I'm coming when you think you're winning. Do you know when Jesus, our Lord, is going to come? He's going to come when the world thinks they are winning. That's when he's going to come. When you think, we're so powerful, we can handle it, nobody can mess with us, he'll come and say, flick. Flick. That's it. Because he will remain Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen? So, child of God, when he thinks, when the enemy wants to make you think all is lost, think this is when God is going to show up. Amen. Hallelujah. When he was born, he goes and finds an Elizabeth that is barren to be the one that will carry the child that will pronounce, that's the big guy. He always looks for problems because he's a problem solver. Amen? He came to a world that was troubled and he says, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. What was Israel experiencing at that time? Not goodwill, not peace. But in the midst of whatever it is that is happening, God is still saying the same thing. Peace on earth, goodwill. Where's that peace coming from? From the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that the wise men came. And in Matthew chapter 2, while we are going there, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that's the house of bread of Judea, in the days of Herod, if you take the D out of that word, Herod, you will have the word what? Hero. Okay. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a small little place, the house of bread, in the days of heroes. Herod, the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They come and they are talking to a king. Watch this. Herod is the king. And they come and they say, where is the king of the Jews? There's a king sitting there. I mean, asking the king, where is the king? Where is the king? Well, interestingly enough, that was the right question. Because God is still, when he comes to you, he's going to ask the question, where is the king? Where is the king? When the enemy is sitting down there, he's going to be asking about the king. That's a challenge. That's a declaration that you are not the right one here. There is one that is greater than you that is here, because you can only ask a king, where is the prince? Hello? You don't say king. They're supposed to be wise men, are they not? So they should know. But God is not dealing with your circumstance based on natural protocol. He's still asking the same question. Where is the king? When you are sitting down there depressed and discouraged, he's going to ask you, where is the king? Where is God? The one who's sovereign, who rules over all. Where is he? I want to see that one. When God looks at me, he wants to see his greatness, not the nonsense of the circumstances that the enemy is trying to put together. He's not looking at the manipulations of Satan. He's looking at, where is the king? Where is the king? So they ask the question, where is the king? That is born king of the Jews. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. In essence, we didn't come to worship you, Herod. We came to worship the real guy. This is annoying. This should get you all wound up, ready to kill somebody. First of all, the people that are asking the question. Where is the king? It says, when Herod heard these things, he was troubled. And then it says, and all Jerusalem with him. That is amazing. And all Jerusalem with him. What do you mean, all Jerusalem with him? They're talking to the king here, and all Jerusalem is troubled because of that? Because all of this is a movement in the realm of the spirit. There are things that God reveals that the enemy cannot interpret. Come with me. If the star shows up, the wise men are able to interpret and say, that's the king of the Jews. There was a spirit over the city of Jerusalem that got the people troubled even though they were not there. Are we together? There are things that trouble all kinds of people, and they don't know why they are troubled, but something has affected the force in that realm that is controlling things in the natural. He says, everybody got troubled. Now, he sent out and he gathered the chief priests, the scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. Where is the Christ going to be born? And he said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, for thou, but thou, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. When did you see the star? You came from a long distance. Where did you see the star? When? And they told him. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why? You see, if we're following this story correctly, they left the Orient, the East, followed that star, came to Jerusalem, and the star says going in another direction, heading towards Bethlehem. But they thought, no, the palace is over there. If there's a king born, it has to be in that palace. If God is going to be present, it's going to be in that big cathedral over there. If God is going to be doing any mighty thing, it's going to be in that big place over there. And so they headed to where their natural mind said the king of the Jews was going to be. And guess what? When they decided to go in that direction, the star dimmed out. That's why the word of God says, when they saw the star, because they came out and, where's the star? Well, they already told you in the natural, go to Bethlehem. But they knew. Some say, God is the God of the second chance. Say it again, God is the God of the second chance. Say it a third time, God is the God of the second chance. Well, I said you should say it three times, so it must be the God of the third chance. The star showed up again. They knew physically what direction to go. They must have pointed the area. Oh, Bethlehem is that way. And if they headed in that direction, they will come to Bethlehem. But they knew if God, by the star, brought us this far, we repent of trying to do that which we started in the spirit by the flesh. Say with me, I repent. From doing things in the flesh when I started by the Spirit of God. It's important. So the star showed up again, and they rejoice with exceeding great joy. And then he says, and when they were come into the what? Into the house. Someone say, upgrade. Well, that's not a manger anymore. He did not stay in a manger. He was born in a manger. I know we have the nice paintings of the three wise men with their three small cigar boxes, you know, presenting it. Well, not so. They came to a house. Someone say, a house. They saw the young, what? Child, not baby anymore, with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, somebody say, treasures. They opened up their treasures And out of those treasures that they came to present, they took out three particular gifts. The first one was gold. And gold represented the fact that he was a king. It represented the fact that he was not just a king, but that he was divine. And frankincense. Frankincense represented the fact that he was going to be a priest. So this was a king priest. And the last gift was myrrh. And myrrh represented the fact that he was going to die. Well, everybody dies. But this death was different. This was a death that was going to affect everybody. And that death was represented by the fact that Jesus hung on the cross. He was born to die. He was born to die for us all. Amen? And thank God for grace. You see, with this gold, he was funded for his trip to Egypt. Let me say this. For every assignment God has for you and for me, there is a funding. In your darkest moments, God, who knows, is taking care of things, even when you do not know what your need is. Even when you do not know what your need is, God knows what your need is and is making provision for it already. Amen? I can testify to that because I have met dark days. Days that I wondered, what is tomorrow going to be like? Is there going to be a tomorrow? And if I get to tomorrow, how am I going to handle this? That's when, in one form or the other, the question, where is the king, is asked. Where is the king? I have to repent of allowing myself to think the thoughts of the enemy. I say, God, have mercy. And I wake up the next day, and the problem that I thought was going to overtake me, run me out, is still there, but grace, it covered it. Mercy had overwhelmed it. And now, the power that it had was all gone. God had provided. And God will provide for every one of you. Amen? Amen? Don't worry, don't fret. Don't get yourself overly concerned about this or that. Just be at peace. He's more than enough. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. I thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. You know our every need. You know whatever it is that is a thing of concern. And Lord, O God, we present it all to you. And we ask that you who broke through and the night will break through for us in our night. And Lord, oh God, that we will know surely your goodness and your mercy. Let it follow us all the days of our lives. We give you praise, Father, for the gift of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It is well with our souls. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I like that greeting back up from Mama and I. It says that Jesus broke into the world in an unusual way to make it possible for you to have your breakthrough. Amen? I want you not to forget that. He broke forth in an unusual way. No man touching the virgin, and the virgin is pregnant. Because the solutions of God are beyond the manipulations of man. Please hear that. Read it with me. Jesus broke into the world in an unusual way to make it possible for you to have your breakthrough. What does that mean? You're going to have your breakthrough in an unusual way. Amen. Say it with me. I am going to have my breakthrough in an unusual way. If it's an unusual way, that means it's not the regular way. Yes? Are you ready for things to happen in ways that are not normal? Like I said last week, God likes abnormal. When it's not normal, I guess it's okay. Let's do it. And it comes up with abnormal ways, irregular ways of doing what needs to be done. That means that God can go, when he wants to fund something, he can go look for somebody that is the most unlikely candidate. I said, you take it to him. God can go and harass a Hindu that is loaded and say, all of your money, take it to that church. When it comes, don't say, I don't touch Hindu money. Collect it. Collect. Do you understand? Just thank you very much. God is going to do unusual things. Did he get 3 wise men or 4 or 5 or 10, whatever amount of them, all the way from the Orient? You know where the Orient is? The East? Huh? That's where weren't there people in Jerusalem? He goes all the way somewhere else to bring it. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. New Year's Eve, don't miss it. Because I just started saying something that you need to really hear. Amen? You're stepping into the unusual. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Unusual. Not the way that things normally happen. Be ready for that. Yes. Amen? Don't question it when God is asking you to do something unusual or something unusual is happening around you. Don't question it. Just tap into it and write it. You know what surfing is? I mean, you know what surfing is? You know what surfing is? Can you surf when there's no wave? So there's got to be a wave. And the wave also comes with storms. Yeah? So surfers, when they hear about a storm, they get excited. They get really happy. Say, hey, they said there's a storm coming. Say, oh, good, good. How high is the wave going to be? They go there. And they watch for the wave. And then, chip, they ride the wave. Get ready. The waves that are coming, they're not meant to drown you. They're meant for you to have lots of fun. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to release you in just a moment. Before I release you, I want to get some stories. And then we're going to give our special offering of thanksgiving to the Lord. I'd like to call on Sister Dorcas to come and tell me just 2 minutes. And then who else am I going to call?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Christmas, when we're growing, is something we look up to. But back then at home, the very special time we eat rice was during Christmas. I don't know how many of us from Nigeria then. Normally we eat some other food, but on Christmas, it's always a very special rice, big meat, mineral. Then that kind of luxury, you will enjoy it the following Christmas. But as time goes on, things begin to change. Then in my home, this time of Eve, my mother will prepare buns, you know, buns made from flowers. Mm. You're going to have as much as you can. But that luxury, you'll be enjoy next Christmas. But the question I want to put to you as a child of God, as we are always celebrating Christmas, like Apostle said on Sunday, do we have that Jesus Christ in us? If you don't have that Jesus in you and you are celebrating Christmas, it's like we are wasting our time. So I want to charge us as children of God, as we are celebrating Christmas, looking forward for Christmas, let us not forget the reason for the Christmas. Apostle Paul said, all I want is to know him more and the power of his resurrection. Amen. And I put it up to you. This is another Christmas. It kept you on high. We are celebrating. The greatest thing we can do is to love Jesus the more, to seek him in his word, to know him and appreciate his grace. Thank you all. And I say to you, Merry Christmas.
Amen. Thank you so very much. Sister Cherry. How are you? And then I'm going to call on Brother Moses also.
I guess I have a few stories, but I think the Christmas season always started in our house, and I'm going to date myself now, when the Christmas catalog came.
Yes.
Who remembers the Christmas catalog? Oh, wow. When that Christmas catalog came, it was about this thick. It had no, like, it wasn't like getting flyers. Shiny paper, beautiful pictures. So there's four kids in the house. There's one Christmas catalog. So we all, whenever we could get it, we had the scissors out, and you were making a list. And you were making it big. So everybody had their turn with the catalog. After that, there was just not much left in the catalog. Lots of holes in the pages. Yeah. But even then, we were so aware. We weren't making this list for Santa. We were taught from a young age that, no, we were making the list for Mom and Dad, and it went all over the house. And I even got myself in a little bit of trouble because I wanted to let other kids know, no, you're not sending anything to the North Pole. You don't need to worry about it. No. Make sure your parents see it because it's not about Santa. It's about Jesus. And it still is.
And about you.
Amen. And about me. And I knew the way. But another thing I thought of today, as I am thinking, oh, food prep for this, for Boxing Day, oh, the fridge isn't big enough. I thought of my mom and my aunt and ladies then. And I'm telling you, they didn't have dishwashers. They didn't have Amazon to order gifts. They didn't have stovetop stuffing. Hmm. I don't know how many of you know stovetop stuffing,
no.
But they didn't go out and buy baked goods. Everything was homemade. Everything was from scratch. A lot of our moms back then didn't even drive. My mom was the first mom to drive on our street, but that wasn't till I was a little bit older. So, wow, I think, how did they do it? And then we'd have our cousins over, and there was six of them and four of us. And, wow, there was just everything, so much food, everything. And another special thing was the Christmas concert we had at church. And I had to laugh when I thought of, we always knew, okay, Christmas is almost here. It's our Christmas concert. It was exciting. And we would all line up to get our goodie bag. And it was a brown paper bag. And it had an orange inside, which Christmas oranges were a little a treat back then, same as Pick-a-Pop was. We didn't have the candy. Pick-a-Pop. An orange, a candy cane, and you know what the rest of the bag was? Peanuts. Peanuts that had the shells on them still. And we all stood in line for these bags, and then you'd get home, and my dad got a lot of peanuts because he was the only one in the house that liked those. But I am so grateful. I am so grateful to have grown up knowing the reason for the season. And I too would agree, as we were bold when we were kids, and it was easy for us. We just told people, no. It's not like that. It's about Jesus. That now the world is very much wanting to hear the same thing.
Amen.
People are tired of the hustle and the bustle and the stuff. And they want to know that there's more than that. That
yes.
The true reason for the season, that there is hope, and it's Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. One more for Moses. You have the ugly sweater.
Yes. The other year. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I wasn't expecting this. Well, I didn't prepare, but I was
There's no preparing. It's 2 minutes.
However, one of the stories I have growing up, the tradition was around Christmas, that's when you get gifts, your new clothes and stuff like
yeah.
that. Usually through the year, you will not get it. But on Christmas Day, expect a new attire. And then one of the traditions I grew up with, which I loved, was during Christmas, that's when almost everybody on your street cooks for the other neighbor.
Mm.
So we would cook and then take it to a different neighbor. Merry Christmas. This is what we cooked in our household. This is for you. And the other neighbors would bring for you as well. But I don't want to leave with just this story. Every year, like our sister said, that this, it's not, if you don't have Jesus in you, then what's the point? There's always that scripture, Isaiah 9:6, that resonates with me every year, which is, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But where we make the mistake is we read that part, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and then the Mighty God. But it's actually saying His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. In other words, he is your extraordinary strategist. So I want us to leave here today knowing that Christ is our extraordinary strategist. No matter what we're going through, he strategized with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't save them. He was like, let them throw you in the fire and the fourth person would show up. That's a strategy, because when he did it that way, there was no way that king would deny that they serve God or not. So I want you to leave here today knowing it's your extraordinary strategies, so that when it shows up for you, nobody can deny that it did not show up for
you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Yeah. This Christmas, I was driving down here, and I was thinking, it's Christmas already. And it did not feel like Christmas. And I thought, why doesn't it feel like Christmas? And dawned on me that the materialistic aspect of Christmas I was not engaged with at all. And as I was getting to the stop sign from my house, I said to myself, it is not Christmas like that, but I'm so thankful I have you. Because it's not about things, it's about having him. And that's the same statement Sister Dorcas shared with us. You know, where's Brother Ibukun? You're not tired of having a sister that's name is Dorcas. You have to go find a wife that is called Dorcas. You're not tired of the name Ibukun. You have to find a wife that is called Ibukun.
And the church you had, where dead was
Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for grace, and thank God for every one of you. Remember, it's a time of giving. Giving what is important. Giving to that which is special to you. You cannot enjoy Christmas without plugging into giving. Sometimes we give gifts, physical gifts, and it restricts what the person has. They may like it, they may not like it. But I tell you what, if you don't want to run around too much, just give them some money so that they can go find whatever it is they want to find. It's good enough. Amen? Stop killing yourself and worrying, what are they going to like? They know what they like. Let them go figure it out themselves. Amen? Hallelujah. If you really want to make it special, put the money in there and put a bowl. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's me making life simple. Praise the Lord. Let's honor God with our giving, and he's worthy of it. Our next service together is a few days from now on a Sunday, and then next week, Wednesday evening, is our pot blessing dinner together. We want everyone engaged in that pot blessing. Let it be a time of fellowshipping together. We are going to basically start that particular gathering that day at 7 o'clock. From 7 to about 8:45, and then at 9 o'clock, we are going to start the New Year's Eve service. It's going to be packed with all kinds of things happening. Come ready to hear God's word for you. Spend some time praying, you know, so that God can speak to you directly about what he wants to do in you and with you. And please don't think it's going to happen in a regular, usual way. Amen? It's going to be unusual. Very unusual. Amen? Things are going to happen for you. Praise God that you're going to be... How on earth did that happen? Who are they celebrating? Who is that seat for? Me? How did I get from here today? It's going to be a year of celebration for you. Amen? In unusual ways. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to call Sister Ashley to come. That Ashley. I'm going to ask her to pray the closing prayer tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. And happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you, Ashley. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Pray, closing prayer.
Thank you.
Rise, please.
Dear God, we just thank you that you have gathered all of us here this evening. We thank you that we get to have this privilege to spend our Christmas Eve together to celebrate you, to think about what you have done in our lives and what you continue to do in our lives. Lord God, we just know and we focus on who you are and what this season is about. I know that we get distracted by gifts and food. A lot of us get distracted by food. But we thank you, God, that we remember that it is all about you, that all three things are through you and nothing is possible without you. I thank you, God, that you have brought us here safely and you will return us home safely. I thank you that we get to be with family and friends and fellowship. I thank you for your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, bless you, saints. Enjoy the goodness of God. Let me say a quick hello to those that are on Zoom tonight. Who do we